welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing with this technically based show, now focused exclusively on the precious metals as we're chatting with Jordan Roiburn. Jordan is the editor of the Daily Gold on a regular basis. Jordan dives into the precious metals charts for his subscribers on his website, also through videos too. So I highly recommend checking out Jordan's website and some of his recent YouTube videos. Jordan, let's start off with gold. Look, gold has been on an absolute tear to start this year. And in all fairness, it's been on a tear for over a year now after putting in a bottom back in, let's just say, October of 2023. Gold has just been moving higher almost month after month. I think there's only been about two or three down months in about a 14 to 15 month period here. And the start of this year has just been strong, taking out pretty much all kind of extension levels that people have been noting. Let's dive simply into the gold chart here, Jordan. What are you seeing? What's the potential of gold moving forward?
Hey, Corey. Yeah, so gold is trading up above, I believe, looking at it on the day we're speaking, 3162 in gold futures. So it has taken out the 3000 measured upside cup and handle target. And also there was a triangle breakout. And so that measured upside target was 3050. So gold has gone above that. I don't have a good Fibonacci target handy. If you look at historic cup and handle moves, and these are kind of rough, they're not as pure as a cup and handle as the one that gold made itself. But those moves went from the measured upside target to the log target in 6 to 12 months. And so the log target just basically means a percentage target. So you're looking at the depth of the cup, the percentage, then measuring that forward. And so the log target, I believe, measures to, I think, about 3,900 to 4,100. For me, I think looking at the precise spots that I'm looking at, I think that measures very closely to 4,000. So that's the next target that I have. And then, of course, I know we'll talk about it, but earlier this month, the really big development was gold breaking out against the stock market, breaking out of a four-year base, and gold also breaking out against a 60-40 portfolio. So extremely significant development, that particular breakout. But I do think we're coming into some kind of interim peak here. We've seen in the last week or so, silver has not been able to get above 35. Silver last week, about 3 or 4 days ago, did have a very strong day. And the silver stocks just did nothing. So the silver stocks are showing that they showed a negative divergence to silver as of a week ago. And so they're selling off. Silver has not been able to move above 35. And gold has just continued higher in the last 3 or 4 days. And you look at the last 3 or 4 days, the miners are basically at the same level. They've made no progress. While looking at gold now, you know, gold's up almost $100 in that time period. So we're coming into some kind of a peak here. You know, I know there's a few people out there saying this is some major peak. I think that's totally off base. But, you know, this should be some kind of, at least if you're a short-term trader, it's a significant peak. I don't know if it's going to be a peak for 2 or 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 4 months, 5 months, something like that. But I think we're setting up for an interim peak here.
All right, Jordan. Well, we will get into some of the intermarket analysis on gold versus the equities and the 60-40. But just sticking with gold itself, I think it's also worth pointing out that it just made its highest monthly and quarterly close just at the end of March. But you've been writing to your subscribers about another significant development, and that's gold in inflation-adjusted terms. Now, a lot of people just look at the nominal price of gold, and I guess that's what most people look at, but you're looking at it in inflation-adjusted terms as well and see it starting to break out. So maybe just point to that as another good arrow in the quiver for the gold market.
Yes, prior to a year ago or so, I remember thinking, who cares about the inflation-adjusted price? That doesn't matter. But I was really trying to find some kind of indicator and something that would track the miners fundamentally and something that you could put on a chart. And some people do use gold against commodities, like gold against the CRB. But, I mean, that doesn't work as well because there's been years where gold has really outperformed commodities. But, you know, gold's been in a cyclical bear market. So that's been bad for the miners. So that doesn't pan out. But if you look at gold divided by inflation, that correlates really well with the moves in the miners. And that's because gold divided by inflation correlates really well with the margins that miners are generating. And that's the gold stocks. They don't follow the gold price. They follow gold minus their costs. And so gold minus gold divided by inflation is a really good proxy for gold minus costs or gold miner margins. So that's why it works really well, and why you look at a 100-year chart of the gold stocks and you look at the inflation adjusted gold price, like they correlate just like, I don't want to say perfectly, but really well. Other than the 1960s, they correlate really well. So that's why the inflation adjusted gold price is really important. And that has broken out of a 45-year base. So that's lifting away from the 1980 peak. As far as the weekly price and the monthly price, I'm not sure about the daily price. And, you know, we only get the inflation reading once a month, so it's really difficult to look at the daily price. But anyway, so the monthly price and the weekly price, the inflation adjusted gold price, have really broken out. And so looking at the miners and gold producers right now, they really don't, I mean, they are fine with the margins that they're generating right now. Like if you're looking at some of these companies, especially ones that are building mines and growing production, they can, even if margins just stay where they are, even if they go down 5 or 10%, these companies can generate some serious cash flow over the next few years. But that being said, you have a breakout from a 45-year base in the inflation adjusted gold price. And so that tells you that, you know, the margins for miners could even get a lot better and a lot stronger in the next year or two, you know, based on this breakout. So that, again, gold producers now, they don't need higher prices. Their margins are really good right now. They don't need anything to change. They're going to make a lot of money. But thinking about the inflation adjusted gold price and this breakout, I mean, they could get a lot better in the next year or two. So we could, you know, doesn't mean you want to do anything reckless as an investor, but you know, we could be coming into, you know, I don't know, maybe like a mini bubble or a mini mania in the gold stocks in the next few years. Potentially. I mean, potentially. Again, that doesn't mean you start buying out of the money calls and doing reckless stuff. But just looking at all this, I mean, we could be coming into a, you know, one of the best environments that mining companies have ever seen in the next few years.
Yeah, what a different environment. Hey, it doesn't feel like all that long ago that we were talking about gold trading at the cost of production. Now it's vastly higher, and these miners are making a lot of money. But just back to gold here, Jordan, we've had some people make a comment that gold has had kind of a parabolic move. We don't usually hear this about commodities, let alone gold. Usually this is more what we hear about tech stocks. What do you have to say to those people that say gold has gone parabolic, and if there is a top, then it could be that maybe longer cooling off period, as you mentioned?
Yeah, well, I do think that it could definitely put in a peak here that holds up for, you know, potentially most of the year. But we have to step back and look at a 50,000 foot view. Gold is 12 months into breaking out of a 13-year bullish base cup and handle pattern. Now, in addition to that, earlier this month, gold finally broke out and is pulling away against the 60/40 portfolio. Now, the other times that happened were similar breakout. They're not all exactly similar, but if we're looking at history, the other times that happened were 1930, beginning of 72, beginning of 2002. What happened? You had a really good move for more than 5 years in the miners and in the metals, of course, as well, after those breakouts. So the fact that, again, gold's broken out of a 13-year pattern, it's broken out of a 10-year pattern against the 60/40. This has only happened now 4 times in the last 100 years. Anyone who is calling for a significant top in gold is missing why this intermarket analysis is so important, because it's telling you that we are only in the very beginning stages of money moving out of tech stocks and conventional stocks and, you know, conventional assets as a whole and moving into precious metals. And that is what supports a real bull market moving forward for over a decade. We are in a new situation. Like in recent years and since 2016, we were in a different situation. So we are in a confirmed new real bull market now. And when you look at the amount of money that's in precious metals, I post some of these charts. Like, you look at fund flows, you look at the capital that's in gold ETFs divided by all ETFs. It is near a secular bear market low. I mean, it's moving off it now in the last couple of months, but it is coming off of a secular bear market low. So if you look at all these factors together, we're in the early stages of a new real secular bull market. There's just anybody who's calling this some kind of a major top, they're completely missing this, and they just don't understand the history and the significance of what's happening to gold here in real terms. Again, this is the start of a real bull market. It's confirmation of a new secular bull market, and this is going to run well into the 2030s. Now, that being said, this requires some nuance because, yeah, we're coming into a real, if you're a short-term trader, we're coming into a significant top. As I said, this top could hold up for most of the year. But at the same time, some of the absolute best moves gold has made have been, it makes a breakout, then it comes back, tests the 200-day moving average, then it starts rebounding again. I think the last three times it's done that, it's made some really seriously strong moves to the upside. So I think you're going to see that again, because what's going to happen is you have a lot of people who think gold is putting in, let's just say, a more significant top than I'm saying. And what's going to happen is gold is going to correct. It's going to consolidate. It probably won't be as severe as most people expect. And when gold bottoms and rebounds, you're going to have tons of people coming into the market that were previously on the sideline, or they thought, it made a significant top. And that's going to drive like a real accelerated move to the upside. So we're coming into an important period now, because the coming months like really could be one of your last chances to get in before this thing gets crazy. So there's a real risk after this correction that's coming up that things could really accelerate after that point.
Okay, Jordan. So I think you're really highlighting the importance of looking at things in different time frames. In the short term, yeah, maybe there's an initial short-term topping pattern where you have that correction. But to your point, historically, when gold makes the big move, then comes back and tests that 200-day moving average and then corrects, it then makes an even bigger move, which would put into the frame that log scale target you mentioned around $4,000 for gold. But then longer term, the secular bull market, because it's breaking out versus equities and bonds, it could keep going for years. So it could go to much higher levels than even that log target on the cup and handle. So when you look at the mining stocks, you're saying this pullback that we get could be one of the last chances to really load the boat. Give us your technical take on what's been happening in the gold stocks. I guess we can look at it by way of the ETFs, GDX or GDXJ. I know a lot of individual charts look different, but how are you looking at the gold stocks overall, and how will you be taking advantage of whatever corrective move we get?
Well, the gold stocks have just broken out from basically 4.5-year bases, depending at what you're looking at, whether it's GDX, the XAU, the GOEX. GDXJ is a little different, but that's still at a 4-year high. That has a little bit more to go, I think, before it breaks the 2020 peak. But, aside from GDXJ, all these minor indices, XGD in Canada as well, like they've had clear breakouts from multi-year bases. So that's extremely, extremely significant and really, really bullish at the same time. It's interesting because, even though gold could put in some kind of a peak here, it'll be really interesting to see how the miners act. And I have a suspicion they might act the way they did in 2009 and 2003, where there was a period early in those cyclical bulls where it was right, you had a move, and so it was right after the bottom. It wasn't at the beginning, but basically before the second leg higher, even though gold was consolidating and correcting, like the miners were really outperforming during that correction. Like, I remember distinctly how in 2009, gold had the first initial rally after October 08 low, rallies up to 1,000, then it consolidated for 4 to 6 months. But there was still buying in the stocks during that consolidation. The same thing happened in 2003, where you had, for a time, gold consolidated. There was huge buying of the juniors. Huge money was coming in. I think silver outperformed. And this was during a period when gold corrected or was moving sideways. So, you know, even though, like, if you're just looking at the miners in a vacuum, they look really good. You know, they've had these huge breakouts. I know we're going to touch on breadth, but I'm not seeing any like major negative divergences there. And miners could, you know, they could come back and retest these breakouts, but, you know, I don't see any worry that they're going to drop 20 or 25% here. So they could, you know, they could consolidate really bullishly, you know, while we're having this pullback in gold. And maybe even they get bid at the same time, because professionals are really underweight this market. And they're going to use any weakness, any correction to come in and buy. And that's going to keep, I think, the miners from having some huge drawdown here, even though gold can consolidate for a while. So obviously the miners are looking really good. I mean, the higher quality juniors have been on absolute fire for a while. You know, you're starting to see money come into the, you know, not necessarily low quality, but lower quality miners and juniors. And, you know, I think assuming we get this correction, you know, it'll provide a good opportunity for people to reshuffle their portfolio around, you know, get allocated to some higher quality companies. And that's, you know, that's my thinking over the coming months. You know, I'm taking a look again at everything I own, you know, stocks I missed. Maybe if there's something I missed and that corrects, you know, I can get into that. But, you know, if this plays out, I'm thinking it could be really your last opportunity to get into high quality juniors, especially if they come back. Because if we see, you know, we see the next leg higher after this correction, you have, you know, gold going to 3,500, then silver breaking 35 to 37. Like, you're just going to see a tidal wave of money coming into the sector. And it's going to be like what we've seen in the last month, but, you know, on steroids or lasting for a while.
Man, that could be really good for the sector. But I think to your point, your comments on if gold goes through a little correction and the stocks don't get hit, that would be a huge change. Because one thing we have seen is gold or silver moving sideways, the stocks taking it on the chin. So that could be a huge divergence and a bit of a telltale sign. Let's talk breadth, though, because look, we hear a lot of people complaining that their juniors haven't moved. And I get it. There are a lot of juniors that haven't moved. But I'm seeing a lot of stocks out there that have done really well over this last year, especially, and just keep tacking on to their gains. What are you seeing in terms of breadth within the gold stocks?
Well, looking at GDX right now and looking at the new highs, one thing I look at is a 20-day exponential moving average of the new highs in GDX, although it's technically new highs divided by new lows. And so using this 20-day exponential moving average, like, you can look at, you can see the clear peaks, like the peaks in 2016, 2020. There was also one in 2019. Those peaks, those major peaks are around, I want to say 30, 33%. We are up, as of yesterday, we were at 18%. In 2024, you had quite a few peaks that were around 16, 17%. So we have not had that huge burst where we move up to, you know, 25 or 30% with respect to this 20-day exponential moving average. But I do have some data, but I can't, you know, share it with subscribers because it's a, you know, particular service. But we do see at the intermediate term peaks from 2000 to 2010, they do, the 20-day exponential moving, it does tend to peak around the same level. So when you get to 25 or 30%, you're at an interim peak or probably an intermediate term peak. And so again, we're at 18% right now. So I personally, like, I really hope we correct and this comes back down. Like, I really do not want to see gold continue to move up here, you know, and the stocks just kind of drag higher while they're not outperforming gold. You know, that to me would be a more negative thing. You know, another thing I look at is the percentage of, you could look at GDX or Huey, what's the percentage of the stocks trading above the 200-day moving average? And then I look at what is the 50-day moving average of that data. And interestingly, at the 2016 and 2020 peaks, that percentage figure, the 50-day average of it, was 97% or 99%. Now, as of a couple days ago, we were at 64%. So breadth to me is, now there's a couple other indicators that are pretty hot. Breadth to me is pretty strong. It's good. But like I was saying, I really hope that it comes back here. And, you know, we have a good correction for a couple months to, you know, to set the stage for something bigger. Last thing I'll mention, the advanced decline line. You know, looking at the advanced decline line, I did mention this at the beginning of March when we had that low in GDX. You had a strong positive divergence in the advanced decline line. And so I remember I put out a flash update saying, you know, well, I thought we were going to correct more, but based on the advanced decline line, it looks to me like, you know, there's risk we're going to move a lot higher. Now, where we are here and now, the advanced decline line has started to weaken relative to GDX, but I wouldn't, you know, it's like a tiny negative divergence at this point. So again, I really hope the market sells off sooner rather than later. Like, I don't want to see the sector, you know, I don't want to see gold keep trending higher and then the miners just suck wind, you know, for the next couple weeks. That to me would be negative and set up a more, you know, maybe a top that holds up for the entire year potentially. But, you know, we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, Jordan, I agree. I think it'd be nice to have a cooling off period. You want to see two steps forward, one step back. You don't want things to keep racing higher or it ends up being a longer term topping process. But another thing we want to look at with regards to both the gold stocks and the silver stocks is silver itself. There's a super tight correlation between silver's chart and the GDX chart going back about a decade. So I think a lot of people are looking at silver to break out to see even things like the main ETFs break out even further. How are you looking at the chart of silver?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, I know that from a big picture, silver tends to follow the miners, but I wouldn't really, if you're assessing the market and really analyzing it, I wouldn't just base, oh, well, the miners are doing this, they're breaking out, so this means silver has to break out. I mean, they're different markets. Like, you have to be careful about using correlations. But yeah, so looking at silver, it all comes back to 35. I mean, 35 is monthly and quarterly resistance. So think of $35 silver as 2100 for gold. So that's where we're at. There's a little resistance at 37 in silver, but after silver takes out 35 to 37, I mean, there's very limited resistance on its way to 50. So that's, I mean, it's going to get really exciting when silver breaks 35 to 37. But that being said, you look at the action in the last week or so, I mean, the market's weakening, it's correcting. So silver has already hit its interim peak. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it, you know, takes a while for silver to break 35 to 37, because eventually when it does, you know, we're going to see a huge move higher. But, you know, it's not going to happen in the next week or the next month. Like, it's going to take some time.
Jordan, excellent technical update here. Thank you for continuing on with our more technical focus show, looking at markets and metals. Again, the metals continue to outperform, especially gold. Silver has been doing fairly well too, but even the stocks doing well on the back of that. If everything plays out the way that you have outlined here, could be a very good time for all the precious metals investors. I know that's encouraging to a lot of our audience. We'll see what the next few months hold and if this momentum that, boy, oh boy, it has been a leap forward in gold, if that slows a little bit in the second quarter, even the third quarter of this year. Again, Jordan Roiburn, editor of the Daily Gold. Click that link in the show notes. And everyone, thanks for tuning in to this weekend show. Please go back through our website, kereport.com, and our podcast and YouTube channel. Just search DKE Report for all our daily editorials and company updates from throughout the week. Thank you all again for taking some time on this weekend. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.